Good evening or good afternoon. Can you hear me? Yes? No? I can shout. It is always a challenge to preach after lunch. So if I see anybody with their eyes closed, I'll think you are praying for me and my message. But I'm excited to be here. I was talking to Alex. The environment is a blessing here. The service of the brethren, the audio, the sisters that are helping out. I know you do it for the Lord, but I'm grateful for that. Thank for the music. It's been a blessing. And I'm sure we'll keep enjoying it. We are excited to be here. Our good brother has already introduced me to you. We have a new baby of 2 months. We've been home a lot and enjoying our new family member. The theme today is the preaching of the New Testament, the expository preaching in the New Testament. I would like to start with a question. Why hold a conference on expository preaching? What's the benefit of that? What's the urgency of that? For many, it is a method of preaching developed at some point in the history of the church. It's been an option among several types of preaching, but it's not like that. The reality is that it is going beyond a preference or style of preaching. It's not a style. It's not a method. Expository preaching begins in our conviction about the Bible. What we think of the Bible dictates how we preach it. What we think, our conviction, according to the Bible, or towards the Bible, dictates the form we preach. Pastor MacArthur said, I quote, "The only logical response to inerrant scripture is to preach it expositionally." This is to say, our conviction of what the Bible is going to impulse us to preach it expository. If for us the Bible is the inerrant and all-sufficient word of God, where we say that we have an infallible text without error, inspired by God, all sufficient. It doesn't need any fixing or any addition. If that's what we have in our hands, why wouldn't we want to preach something else? It doesn't make sense. We want to preach the scripture. If for us it's the final authority of what it reveals, there's no superior authority. It's the final authority. The Word of God, it's been breathed by God. Where can we go after that? To other, what other superior authority? We can't. Why would we want to talk about anything else from the pulpit? Why would we want to entertain or share ideas of man that is fallible when I have an inerrant text directly from God? Why would we want to do that? It's not our ideas, it's what we want to expose, or our concepts. It's the Word of God, the final authority, the exposition. We have seen yesterday and today what expository preaching is with Pastor Alex and Robert and Hugo. But let's remember what we've been hearing. Emphasize it. Tom Pennington, a man that's been used by God, has studied the Word. He says, an expository sermon is one that where the preacher reads the text, explains the passage in its text, and applies the text. Three steps. He reads it, explains it in its context, and then applies the text. The simple form of this were the, these were the words of Tom Pennington. A sermon is a proclamation of the word of God. Only if the text is explained or interpreted properly. The authentic preaching is expository. It's to expose the text, show the text before the people, not to hide it, not to confuse the text. It's to reveal it. That's the heart of the expository preaching. John Calvin. I'm sure you know who he is. Preaching is the expository or the public expository of the scriptures in which God himself is present in justice and in grace. If we consider what we have seen of these men that have given these quotes, you can see a progression. They're not contemporary. They're in different distinct points. There's a consistent theme of what the expository preaching is. They share the same perception of what true preachers should do. They have a similar conviction of expository preaching. And I will repeat what I said in the beginning. It's not an option. It's the form and the way of preaching the word according to our conviction of the Bible. Something else what we will see is what we will focus our time on. It's not just our conviction about according to the word of God, but as the New Testament shows us the principles of expository preaching that can be observed in today's teaching. It's to say, when we study the New Testament, we will see principles of how to preach. And those principles are consistent with what the expository preaching holds. That's what we see today. How Jesus Christ, our Lord, used to teach, basically. What did it contain? What contained his messages? When we come to Acts, to the apostles, how the apostles preach expository, what Paul did with the text. It's to say, we'll see how the New Testament determines the principles to which we must use to preach the word expository. What I try to do is to show you what we want to do with the preaching is not make an invention about what some preacher said. It's not the invention of a man. It's not a good idea. The way we preach is born by the scriptures. The scriptures show us how to preach. And that's what we will see today. This starts with our conviction. If we believe the Bible is powerful, we do not want to appeal to anything else. We do not want to promote our own conclusions. I think that's clear. We desire to expose what God has revealed. For what? So the edification of the saints, so that the believers can mature, and so that someone that does not know God can come to God, can know God, can be exposed to the message of Christ, the gospel. It's the only form of salvation. The preaching of the word is our only tool to do what we were commanded to do. It's the way the people of God can preach the word, and so that the lost can come to saving knowledge. Our purpose for this session is to observe how the preachers of the New Testament manage the word and how it's coherent with the expository preaching. So the first stop So it'll be three stops. The first stop, the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ shows us how he came close to teaching and what he did when he taught, so we can imitate. You may know this commentary. The ministry of Jesus is a preacher of the word. His 3 years of ministry were marked by the preaching and the teaching. We can also see in the text. I'll give you some text. If you want to write them down, I will read them. Or you can follow me. Matthew 4, 23. I want us to observe here. And Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching, doing what? The text says, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. This is what our Lord Jesus did in his ministry very regularly. He taught in the synagogues. It was a formal teaching of the revelation of God. And preached. He also preached. There wasn't just teaching, there was preaching. This is what our Lord was occupied with. Week after week, throughout his ministry. What occurred in the synagogues? In the synagogues, there was the teaching and the expository, and the exposition of the Word of God at the time, which was basically the Old Testament. Acts 15, 21. Every week in the synagogue, there was lecture of the scriptures and exposition of the scripture. Now, when we talk about this, we must understand that exposition wasn't always good. What I want to observe is, in the first place, this occurred regularly, every week. Teaching of the scriptures. And this is what our Lord was involved in during his ministry. Luke offers us a clear description that this was common. This was his common occupation. Luke 4, 14 and 15. I apologize if I give you a lot of text, but there's a lot of information in the New Testament. So we'll see a lot of passages, and it'll be useful to have a panorama of what to see what we do, why we do what we do. Luke 4, 14. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district. Verse 15. And he was teaching in their synagogues, being glorified by all. This was common, recurring. The scriptures were read and they were exposed every week in the synagogues. And that's where the Lord was, in the synagogues, exposing and reading the scriptures. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. His custom. This was common. It wasn't strange for him. It was his custom to read and teach and expose the scripture so that the ones listening can know what the purpose of the scriptures was and reveal the will of God. Another passage. I'll see it as a reference. 444. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The Gospel of Luke emphasizes this, that this was reoccurring in his ministry of our Lord. It was frequent. Luke 6:6. Now it happened that another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. Again, this was common with Jesus. It was constant. He occupied his time week after week exposing the scriptures, not just talk about philosophy, contemporary, or the culture, or the Greek philosophy, or mythology. He didn't talk about vain ideas or entertainment. No, it was the scripture. He exposed the scripture, what God has revealed. Don Pennington has studied this theme a lot. We know a lot of the teachings of Jesus from boats, on mounts, and days in between during the week. But the principal focus of his ministry was every week reading and exposing the text in the synagogues. And what was the format in the synagogues, or the context, the cultural context, was to expose the revelation of God week after week. They would advance in the lecture of the scripture, section after section, book after book, of what they had at that time, the Old Testament. So this was the usual formula of our Lord Jesus every week. Synagogue after synagogue, week after week. Our Lord took the revelation in its context, considering the context in the scripture so that the people could understand it. So you guys have seen, read the gospel. The people would say, now I understand what the context or the scripture says. He speaks to us with authority. We understand. We'll go right now, but those that said that our hearts burned when we listened to him. We understand and we believe. The Lord calls us to obey and to seek him. That's the voice of our Lord. My lamb, my sheep obey my, hear my voice and know me. His sheep will always respond. This was not a formal teaching. This was not a day where there was a congregational worship. There's a conversation between two men, Luke 24, verse 27. The beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Someone, they said they hear this, or let me go back. We see that Jesus is using the Old Testament. Why? Because he's going back to Moses, and then he talks about the prophets. It's a way to resume the Old Testament. Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms is another way that the Bible shows us the Old Testament. Here, Jesus is using the Old Testament, and some could say that Jesus was using every single verse of the Old Testament, but that's not probable for some reasons. But I'm going to explain two. One, it's not what the text says. We'll see. And two, the distance to Emmaus wouldn't be enough time to study every single verse, because the Old Testament was very large. And what the text says It says, the beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he interpreted to them the scriptures, the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. He was pointing out the scriptures that talked about him. If you want to see it with more clarity, we can go to verse 44. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. This is the point. Everything that is written of me, not with what's written in the Old Testament, but what everything that's written of me in the Old Testament. This is what the Lord used to expose the Word of God. He took the revelation from God and its context and its original intention from the original author. He applied it to the life of the listeners. He encouraged them to listen to the scriptures. It's what the Lord did for his ministry week after week. With disciples, with common people, he did it with everybody, and that's why the Lord was dedicated to. Another point we could see was a response from the men going to Emmaus. The reaction was joy. Their hearts burned with joy when they heard the exposition of the word. That's what happens when someone is exposed to the word. We want the church to be alive. We want people to be saved. We want people to grow and mature. We want to see lives transformed. We want to see people love the Lord and passion, and have passion for the Lord and other people. What should we do? Give them the word. Give them the word adequately, correctly. Correctly exposed and applied to their hearts. And that will cause them to respond in the same way. Their hearts burned with joy when their hearts were exposed to the scriptures. Our first stop was the ministry of our Lord. But it's not the only thing that New Testament has. Our second stop are the leaders of the New Testament. The first leaders of the New Testament, which were the apostles. What did the apostles do? Well, they taught the word. Acts 2:42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and into the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. We think that sometimes the doctrine is only studied by pastors, but it's not so. We need to know what the doctrine is. No pastor should just keep it to himself. It means that we need to have the will to teach and learn the doctrine and about Jesus. We should be interested in doctrine. I don't know if this has happened to you, but some circles, not so very well in the group of evangelicalism, you hear, I love Jesus, but I don't want the doctrine. The doctrine makes you proud. It makes you cold. I love Jesus, but I don't want the doctrine. I hope you've never heard that, but sometimes we hear it. That's a contradiction the size of a house. I can't say I love Jesus and hate his teachings. That's a contradiction so big. It's impossible to separate Jesus from his teachings. And he said that. If he that loves me, keeps my commandments. And he said it very many, many times. The one that loves me, that does not love me, does not keep my commandments. He said it in many, many different ways. We cannot separate the study of doctrine, we cannot separate what is the teaching from the Word of God. And that's what the apostles did. They persevered in the doctrine of the apostles. They dedicated their time in teaching the Word. That's the commandment that the Lord left them. They had to share everything that He taught them. All the counsel, all the teaching, they were supposed to share it. The apostles showed the priority of teaching the Word. Remember the section of Acts 6 when there's a division, or there's an intention of division between the Jews and the Hebrews? There's a problem there for the widows. What does the apostle say? We're not going to go there, but I want to focus my time here on the priority. The apostle said, we will persist in praying and in the ministry of the Word. That was their priority. That's what the apostles did. Study the doctrine, teach it. Peter was a great expositor. What does Peter do in Acts 2? He takes passages from Joel 3:28, from Psalms 16, and from Psalm 110, and he exposes them. That's his sermon. His sermon was to take revelation from the Old Testament and expose it to the audience and explain what the text meant and apply it to the lives of those people. And that's what the Lord used to reach and convince them of their sin. Peter explained what these passages meant. Peter didn't prefer to preach or anything philosophical. He didn't choose to preach Greek philosophy or his own ideas. But his authority in the mass of his sermon was to bring the context out of the text and show it to the audience, how to respond adequately to the scriptures. That's why the people said, what should we do? That's the response that we look for the expository preaching. How do I respond to what you're telling me? This is what consists of exposing the text. We're not going to go into hermeneutics, but we're not going to go into that. But it's the form we can get closer to our messages or passages with complete certainty that we are actually understanding the context. This is what Jesus did. Because Jesus and the apostles exposed the text, interpret it, expose it, and we put in a phrase is, we have evidence in the scriptures that the way to study the Bible is to take a passage, study it with the intention that the author had, not change it, not change the intention of the author, not modify it, not replace it, not replace the content, but the respect of the intention of the author, its grammar, respecting the context so that it can be later applied to the listener. More evidence in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is basically an expository sermon. The book of Hebrews has passages from the Old Testament. And for example, Hebrews 3 or chapter 4, verse 13 is an exposition of Psalm 13. Thirdly, and last stop of our bus, the instructions of Paul to the leaders. We saw the teachings of Jesus. We saw the apostles. But now, too, there's a lot of instruction in Paul's part. Paul's instruction to the leaders, specifically to Titus and Timothy, how they should carry out the ministry of the word. The letters from Paul had the intention to be read to all the congregation. He understood that everybody should be part of the revelation, like in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 3:27 or 3:13. The letter to Philemon teaches about forgiveness, like when of the slave that fled. Paul wrote to Titus and gives instruction, not just for Titus, but to the congregation. Why? Because the idea is everybody was going to read the text, the word. In the mind of Paul, wasn't just preaching the Old Testament, but what was being added in the New Testament. Paul dedicated himself to exposing the whole revelation of God. Acts 20:26. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. What does that mean that he gave the whole purpose to preach? What did he teach? He taught the whole purpose of God. He preached the whole purpose of God. Expository preaching is a discipline of edifying the saints by imitating the model of preaching that the Bible prescribes. How do we know how to preach the word? How do we know? The Bible tells us how to do it. It gives us the norms how to preach it. How do we, when we observe how the prophets interpret the Old Testament, we learn to be consistent with the intention of the author, respect his grammar, the context. When we learn how the apostles interpreted the prophets, when we learn how Paul interpreted the revelation before him, we can imitate that example. We can be consistent with that example. How do we want to do that? With the same way that the authors of the Bible interpreted the previous passages. When we do that, we do what we're doing what God wants us to do with the word, to interpret it adequately, expose it, and be the center of the life of the believer. One question. Where does the power reside to save? When someone is saved, why are they saved? Is it because of the preacher? The one that shared the gospel? No, the power comes from God through the word, through the scriptures. The word has the power. Yes, the message, without the proper message, no one would be saved. The power is not in the preacher or the person. What transforms? The author of Hebrews, in verse 12 of chapter 4. The word penetrates down to the soul. The word has the power to change. And if the word says that, we're not going to preach anything different. They that believe that the power is in the preacher, they expose their own reasoning. And we have a congregation that just talks about, that the pastor talks about of his ideas or his experiences and everything he has understood and knows. Clearly that church is not going to be theologically right, because they're going to have the theology that the preacher has the understanding. The preacher can change people. But a pastor that opens the word and trusts the word and exposes it, we understand his theology. The power is in the word of God, because he believes that the word is sufficient, all authority, and be able to transform any sinner. We see sometimes that we don't want to preach to these people because they're not going to repent. That's horrible. Because we are doubting the power of the gospel. Yeah, because I've already preached to him a few times and they're not going to repent. Never doubt the power of the gospel. God can transform the most vile and difficult sinner. He transformed Saul. And we knew Saul. Proud. Proud of his citizenship, his customs, being a Pharisee, a hater of Christ, investing his own money to persecute his Christ's disciples, the Christians. We would say that I won't bet $1 for him to ever be saved. It'd be impossible. But the Lord showed his power and transformed Saul he used Saul to bring the majority of the New Testament. Never doubt the power of the word. Just think of Saul. We have a family member that has a hard heart towards the gospel. Think of Saul. The scriptures have the power, the word of God, and we need to trust it. But we also need to be willing to expose it and preach it so that everyone can see it. Because that is what saves, and that's what transforms. Those that think that the power is in the psychology or the philosophy, then you're going to bring those arguments to the pulpit. And you're in a church that what they're teaching you are just men's teachings, philosophies, psychologies. That's where the preacher's confidence is. His theology is in that. If we believe that the word is powerful enough to change, so we don't want to preach anything else. Brother, it's because the times have changed. It's not the same as before. Now the youth, you don't understand the youth. We need to help them to the Bible. Let's help the Bible by adding things to it. Make it more entertaining. Let's put psychology into it so it could be more attractive to the people. No, that's absurd. That is not trusting the sufficiency of the Bible. It doesn't need your abilities. It doesn't need our help. Who am I to help the Bible? Spurgeon had a phrase that you might know. Could you help a lion? What if two hyenas come? Can you help a lion? No. Spurgeon said, what do we do with a lion that is hungry? Is to open the cage, let him free. He can defend himself. He's going to be fine. That's what we should do with the Bible. It doesn't need our help. I can't defend it. All I have to do is let it run free. Proclaim it. Proclaim what God has revealed to us. That's all I can do. It'll defend itself. It'll do the work that God wants to do. It's simple. Paul emphasizes that the leader of the church should expose the text biblically. 1 Peter. We're in the final stretch. Thank you for your attention after lunch. You've been doing well. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who led well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor at preaching the word and teaching. Preaching and teaching, exposing the text, applying the text, interpret the text. That's what the leader does. That's the life of the leader in the church. Paul instructs us how we should use the scripture, treat the scripture in our worship. In chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation and teaching." He said to occupy yourself in three things: in reading the scripture, exhortation, and teaching. Observe that. Paul tells to Timothy, this is what you need to do. This is your priority. You need to read publicly the scripture in the congregation. You should publicly read it. That's the idea. You need to teach it, expose it. That's exposition. And you need to apply it. And that's exhortation. Exhort the audience to respond in obedience to the text that you're studying. Paul says you need to read, expose, and exhort the word. That's what an elder in the New Testament does. And guess what? It's what a leader today should occupy himself to do. That's the form we need to expose the Bible. When you listen to sadly, sermons that are just simply excuses. We're going to study such text, and they read it, and they just say whatever that has nothing to do with that text. It has nothing to do with what it communicates. They don't say anything about what the author wanted to communicate to the audience. It's just an excuse. They use it as an excuse to say whatever they want to say. What we see here is to read the Bible, the Word, interpret the Word, and apply the Word. That is basically the expository preaching. So why? Why do we do what we do with expository preaching? Well, first answer is we have high regard for the scripture because we know that the power comes from the word. It's sufficient. It's inerrant. It's powerful. I don't want to preach anything else. I don't want to talk about anything else. Just in the power of the word. Second, we want to imitate the example of the New Testament. That's the church you want to look for. That's the preaching you want to hear. Those are the leaders you want to be under. People that have high regard for the Bible, interpret it adequately, consistently, the scripture with the examples that we see in the New Testament. The example that Jesus gave us, exposing the word week after week, regularly, sequentially. The example of the apostles using their time to expose the word. That's what Paul commanded Timothy and Titus. We don't need to be creative. We don't need to invent anything. We just need to be faithful to what the Bible already teaches us. Amen? Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this reminder. Help us, Lord, to be able to be certain in your word and know your word and show confidence in it so that we can, so it could be instruments for your gospel to run throughout our world freely. It's what has power to save, to transform, sanctify. Lord, we thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Steve, for Alex, who have the desire to expose your word. They have the desire to feed the sheep with your revelation and not ideas, not with entertainment. bless them, and then help us to imitate the examples we learn in the scriptures. Thank you for the conference. We ask in your name. Amen.